That's Mon, that's up. Okay, yes. It's Donnie's question. Donnie's question is that why does the Kohen Gadol mention the Shem Havaya? Because the answer is that the Shem Havaya is a reference. This reference, most people can't understand. But the Rambam says in the Morah that when they taught it, they taught it once in 70 years. 70, whatever. They taught it so to certain Chachmei Yisrael, they were able to understand it. Certain Chachomim were on the highest level, they were able to understand it. So it means to say, it could be that would explain why it was only said at certain times, like in the Migdash, to show that it can be understood, but it can't be said all the time. You shouldn't think that it's a simple thing to understand it. Man can understand it if he reaches a certain level of understanding, of knowledge. But the average person who doesn't reach that level can't understand it. So it means to say, that's why it can be pronounced certain times to show that there is an understanding, but it's limited. That's why only those times, not other times. That's what it means.
That idea is that as the generations got one.
That's right, you're right. That's right. That's right. What?
They kept it so quiet
that they made it quiet. Why did they make it quiet? Because there weren't people around that could understand it anymore. That's very good. It's consistent with that idea. To show that that there weren't even those people anymore. That's very good. Yeah. In other words, when the Kohen Gadol would say it later, when the Doros became law, nobody understood it, so they say it very quietly. Why to show that even today nobody even understands it. Very good. Yeah. That's why you have the halacha of lechem mishnah on Shabbos. Why do you have the halacha of lechem mishnah on Shabbos? What's the whole idea of lechem mishnah? Hashgachas Hashem, to show the theme of Shabbos. Hashgachas Hashem. That's why the minig is to have lechem mishnah from the Mon. Why do you have lechem mishnah from the Mon? The Mon was a long time ago. We don't have the Mon anymore. So why do you have the lechem mishnah? Because the theme exists today. The theme exists today. Same idea. That's why you cover it. You cover it from the top and bottom, you know, like the Mon. The Mon of the Mon. So that's the idea of Shabbos. Okay. And want you to understand that a person's Machal Shabbos is not the same as not Bikaras Mamish. You can't put him in, it's still not the same as not Bikaras Mamish. Not Bikaras Mamish is worse. It's worse. But why does the halacha define him halachically as not Bikaras? As a kofar baker. That's what I want to explain. It's still a halachic definition. Still, it's not the same as if a person actually denies Bir Shemayim V'Aretz. There's a big distance between those two people. Even though halachically this man's defined as a kofar baker, the other person is an actual kofar baker. That'll make a difference. We got the tefillah. Yeah. The theme of Shabbos is the theme of Shabbos. Bir Shemayim V'Aretz and Hashgachas Hashem. That's the theme of Shabbos. So that's what it means. Al kain tzivchot Hashem l'kach l'asos l'yonasim l'Shabbos. That's why God gave you the mitzvah of Shabbos. He gave you the mitzvah of Shabbos in order that you should be involved in Hashgachah. In order you should be involved in Hashgachah Hashem. You should have the realization of Hashgachah Hashem. That's why He gave you that mitzvah, and He told you that if you keep that mitzvah, that you don't have to be concerned with your own needs. Yeah. That's right. In tefillah and Shabbos is no bakasha. Same thing. So it's not a tactic of sasri between the two aseres adibros. It's just two different aspects. Okay? Yeah, in other words, one is what the theme of Shabbos is, and one is what the involvement in the mitzvah means. What does the involvement in keeping it? One is the abstract thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bar Yoh. That's the theme of Shabbos. But the second one, why did God give you this mitzvah and tell you to do it, to be involved in it? Because there's Hashgachas Hashem. Because there's an ongoing relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and between the world. Between Klal Yisrael. So therefore He told you to do it. He gave you the mitzvah. That's why He gave it to you. If it was just a theme, He wouldn't give you the mitzvah. So that's true. It's a fact. So what do you have to have a mitzvah for? I recognize the fact, and that's it. Just an intellectual thing. But Al-Kain Tzivchot Hashem Elokecha La'asos Hashem HaShabbos means, why did He give you this mitzvah of recognition and tell you to act it out in this way? Why? What was the purpose of that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with Bnei Adam, and because He relates to Bnei Adam, and His Hashgacha relates to Klal Yisrael. That's why He gave you this mitzvah, because by doing the mitzvah, you're in a different relationship to Him than you would be if you wouldn't do the mitzvah. Okay? You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just an abstract thought. It's not just an abstract theme. It's the theme is Yesh Mayim V'Aretz. But why did he give you the mitzvah? Because he's concerned about you. Because there's Hashgacha. He wants you to do the mitzvah. And there's Hashgacha Hashem. It's because of Hashgacha.
That's why you're not
allowed to. That's why you're not allowed to. Right. Okay. After that event, you had the Be'er. What was the Be'er? The Be'er was that Vayisukol Asmei Somim Nosim L'Masim Pi Hashem Vayachnu Befidim Vein Mayim Lishtos On. Okay, there was no water. That's in Yudzayim. Vayorvam Moshe Vayomu Tnu Lanu Mayim V'Nishte Vayomu Moshe Matarivin Imadi Matanasin Es Hashem. Okay, and then it says Vayikrashim Amokon. Okay, so Moshe Benu was Mespaleo. You take the matah and you kiss basayor, okay, and the tzur, interesting thing, says a matcha she kiss basayor kach biyodcha v'alochta. Interesting thing. So it says why she kiss basayor, matamad lomar she kiss basayor, says show Yisrael omen, ala matah she ain't a muchan el luperonius, bolok a paro mitzrayim, kamamakas mitzrayim, vala yom, the kach nema she kiss basayor, yiruata she af le tova omuchan. I shouldn't have any kind of superstitious, idea about the matah. They remove that kind of an idea. Okay? So therefore, he used that same matah, and it says, Vayikra Shem Makom Maso Mariva, Al Riv Bnei Yisrael, Val Nasoso Nesad Hashem Lema Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Amayim. So what did they, what was the story over there? What was the maso? What was the problem over there? The Ibn Ezra says there were two groups. One group had water, one group didn't have water. So he says the group that didn't have water were crying for water. The other ones were the Menasim. They wanted to test to see if God's going to supply the water or not. You see, it says Matarivin Imadi Matanasim Es Hashem. The ones that were arguing, they were the ones that wanted the water. Matanasim were the other ones that said, let's see if God's going to give them water. So it's an interesting thing. It says Vayava Amalek Vayelochem Mishor Befidim. So Rashi says like this. Rashi says, "Vayelo Malik, Samach Parsha Zul v'Mikra Zel Lomar, Tomer Ani Beinechem, Umezumen L'Chol Tzorchechem, Va'ata Omrim Hayesh Hashem B'Kibeinu L'Moyen." I'm always here, ready for all your needs, and you say Hayesh Hashem B'Kibeinu L'Moyen. Chayechem Shakelav Bavano Shechasem. We get bitten by the dog. Va'atem Tzorchem Li, V'Teidu Heichon Ani. Mashal Adam Shehikiv Banor Kseifo. Person took his son and was carrying him on his shoulders, and he went out to the road, and every time the son saw something, he said, Father, he says, get me this object, give me this thing. Father gave it to him, asked him again, gave it to him again. Finally, somebody meets the son and said, did you see your father? And he says, Abba, have you met somebody? He said, did you see my father? So Amalav Ainha Yadeya Hechanani, you don't know where I am, is Shlicho Mayolov, who bought Kalavanoshka. So he threw him down and the dog came and bit him. Yeah. That's the marshal. So what does it mean? What does it mean? And it's a strange phenomenon. What is the here you have the mon, after the mon you see, you see Hashgach Hashem. So what happened with Maso Mariva? Vayikra Shem Makom Maso Mariva. Yeah. So what does it mean? It means to say like this. It means to say that the reaction they had a psychological reaction to the mon. See, the psychological reaction to the mon was, I told you, it's a very difficult thing psychologically. You know, we don't understand. A lot of times we read things in the Torah and we look at it simplistically. We don't think into it and realize that they were people. Human beings just like we, and we don't think about how we would react in such a situation. Sounds very nice. You know, they went through the desert 40 years. You can read it in a few minutes. You know, I mean, it's very easy. But you have to realize that they were living through certain inattentions, and this the mon was a very difficult thing. That's why the Ramban says lamana noso lenasoso. Right? So it was a tremendous nesoyan, because psychologically it all sounds very nice. We could sit here and discuss it. The idea is very nice, metaphysical causality, but it was very difficult psychologically for those people, because it's a difficult thing. Like Ramban says, it's not easy for a person to give up any kind of control that he exerts over his own existence. The most difficult thing psychologically for a person to do. So they had a reaction to that. The reaction was that they wanted to deny it. They wanted to deny it. So the moment there was a little denial, works like this. Denial, a normal person can't deny something totally. He has to have some kind of reality to attach it to. But when the reality comes his way, he'll project onto the reality far more than the reality dictates. That's the difference between a neurotic person and between a normal person. The neurotic sees reality. It's not that he doesn't have any reality. It's just what he projects onto the reality, things that reality don't want. Okay? So the moment they saw that there was a flaw in the system because there was no water, so immediately they wanted to deny it. That was maso meriva. They couldn't tolerate it. The idea was so difficult for them to live with that they were happy to see that it's not working. You see? They were the Lamana or the Pasuk, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin. Im Oyin. They were looking for the Oyin. They were looking for some way to get out of this total dependency. Some way to remove themselves from the total dependency was intolerable. And they were happy to see that it's not working, you see. And that's why it was, that was on Asosu Masar Hashem. That's what Rashi says. So Rashi says that you deny me, that's what Rashi says, a marshal over there. That I'm among you all the time, and you're denying me, like the Bane. Why does the Bane forget where his father is? Because the Bane doesn't want to realize he's dependent on the father. Father was very nice to him. He gave him all these things, but he wants to deny it. So you see somebody, you see my father? Suddenly he doesn't recognize where he's at. Because he doesn't want to admit that he has that dependency. That's the muscle with the Bane. So the Maso Meriva, the Maso Meriva was a direct psychological effect of the tremendous pressure that the Mun placed on their mental apparatus, on their minds. It was tremendous pressure. So therefore, they were looking for a way out, and they were looking for a denial. That was the case. That was the case of Maso Meriva. So what did God? So God said, apparently the emotion of you're overcome by the emotion of self-reliance. So he says, "Vayavo pasas vayavo Amalek." When Amalek came, when a person's in a time is in a situation of total danger, implicit danger for his life, he doesn't care if he relies on somebody else. He just wants to get out. He just wants to get out of it. That's why they say, you know, the common phrase, "No atheist in a foxhole." Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's reality. Haina Damri Inchi, the Gemara says. Damri Inchi, people say things that are true sometimes. So that's the common phrase. It's true. The thing is that a person, why? Because a person ordinarily denies God because he's independent. But when his life is about to be taken away, he doesn't care about being dependent. He's very happy to be dependent. That's Vayav HaMolek. Vayav HaMolek was a remedy for the situation that resulted from Maso Meriva. So there's a direct... So the Mon... So it started off with the Mon. It went to the Maso Meriva. And it concluded with Amalek. That's the order of the three events. So now you take a look at Yisro. Okay? Rashi in Yisro is like this. Vayishma Yisro. Ma shemua shama uva. What does it say? Shama uva means when a person is a shama uva, this is a mashmua shama. Mashmua shama uva. A person is shama uva means he heard something and it's drawing him. What drew him? What drew Yisro? What drew him was Kriyas Yamsuf and Machanas Amalek. Kriyas Yamsuf showed Ashgachas Hashem. Like what do you say? He says, until now nobody can escape Mitzrayim. And you know what the Rashi says over there. That until now nobody can get out of Mitzrayim. It was a closed Valkulam Ashkar, he tzilam yam Mitzrayim, and Achshav lo haya eved yochel lefroch Mitzrayim. Shoyse ha'oretz mesugeres, ve'elu yotzu shishim riba. So that attracts a person. A person sees something like that. There's something different here. So it was attracted, it's shom ovar. And Amalek showed that it wasn't just a one-time event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out Klal Yisrael, but it was an ongoing relationship with the Yuma. Okay, you could say it's a one-time event. But if Baruch HaRachmanis on Bnei Yisrael, we took them out. That's it. Now they're out. They're on their own. No, they're not on their own. There's a special Hashgacha constantly relating to Klal Yisrael. Not only to Klal Yisrael, but it's there's a positive and a negative form to it. The positive form is God's relationship to Klal Yisrael. The negative is his relationship to Amalek that wants to destroy the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Amalek, like Yodol Keis Ka. Yodol Keis Ka, Mocham Hashem Amalek, V'dor Dor. It means to say that the existence of Amalek is always, it means the Kisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malchus Hashem is not complete. Because of the fact that Amalek exists. Because Amalek represents, the concept of Amalek is the denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the denial of Hashgachas Hashem, specifically, the denial of Hashgach. That's what Amalek really represents. Denial of Hashgach. There's no such thing as an Umar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors and that he relates to because of the fact that they keep his laws. So Amalek is an extension of Yetzias Mitzrayim, really. That's what attracted him. He saw those two ideas. He saw as God relates to a nation, takes them out of Mitzrayim. Not only that, but it's an ongoing relationship with that nation and a negative relationship with a nation that tries to, that has the opposite idea. That has the opposite idea. So that was Shoma Ovar. That got him moving. That made him calm. Then what happened? If they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, so it says like this. It says that, it says in the same pasuk, Eskol asher asa lohem b'yiridas hamon u'b'er b'amalek. So what does that mean? Yiridas hamon b'er b'amalek, what does it mean? It means that that's a different thing. Yiridas hamon in b'er and amalek means he saw Eskol asher asa. He saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Klal Yisrael, not just Nisan. Yamsuf and Amalek are Nisan. Nisan, that a person attracts a person. A person sees an unbelievable event that shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to a nation. That attracted him. But Yiridas Hamon in Be'er and Amalek, that was a different thing. He saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches this people through his Hashgacha. He teaches them ideas. Yiridas Hamon, the idea of Shabbos, the idea of Hashgacha, the concept of a person devotes himself to the ideas, he doesn't have to worry about sustenance, metaphysical causality. And then he saw that when the people are weak and they deny it because of the psychological strain, so then he brought the Be'er. He brought the case of the Be'er to even in that situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them the Be'er in order to hold them off. To hold them off. It was a little chesed Hashem. Rosh Baruch Hu said, that's it. You deny me, so you don't exist anymore. But he answered them with a Be'er, and not only that, but he removed the imperfection. He answered their need with the Be'er, and he removed their imperfection through Amalek. So he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kol asher asa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just do Nisan, but he's a Malamed. He teaches Klal Yisrael through the Nisan. He teaches them ideas through the Nisan. That's kol asher asa. When he saw that, that was what convinced him. First thing that moved him was the magnificence of the Nisan. That moved him. That was the first thing. But what really is kol asher asa, what really clinched it was he saw that a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a malamed Torah Lama Yisrael. Not only does it do Nisan, but the Nisan was such that they teach the people ideas, true ideas. That's kol asher asa. That was the sequence of the Mon and the Be'er and the Amalek. That was the sequence. That's why it mentions Amalek the second time. Yes? Amalek the second time is not in the same context as the first time. The first time it's in the context of Mohammed. And the second time it's the context of Limud. Because of the Smichas HaParshas, like Rashi says, it was a necessary result from the Masa Meriva. Yes? Amalek is not included. Mora was something which was a lima for Klal Yisrael, but for the outside, it wasn't a lima. Because it wasn't an event of that magnitude in terms of the affect that it would have, that it would imbue an individual with. Okay? Now, then you have like this. Vayichad Yisrael, it says, Al Kol HaTovah. You see, take a look. So first of all, it says, in Pasuk Ches, Vayasam Moshmach Olchosna, Eskol HaShem Lafaro LaMitzrayim. Eskolat law, see Rashi again. Shal Hayom v'shal Amalek. You see? Why is he, why call it Hayom, why Hayom and Amalek again? Take a look at the Rashi right before. Limshoch es libo l'korvo l'Torah. Limshoch, how are you moshech libo? By showing him the magnificence of the events, of to impress him with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yod Chazorka, Zorana Tuyot, and Melchemes Amalek, the victory of Amalek. So that impressed him. That was Limshoch es libo, to draw him. But then in the next one, Vayichad Yisroel, here Rashi changes again. He says, Al kol ha-tova, tovas hamon, va-be'er, va-tara. See? Here Rashi took out Amalek. Why did he take out Amalek? Because it's, over here it's Vayichad Yisroel. What is Vayichad? It means that he was mole simcha. He was mole simcha. He was very happy. Why was he happy? It means he reached a level of simcha. That's real with simcha shel mitzvah. I mean, he reached a level where he reached, if a person understands Torah, he really understands Yadus, he really understands Torah, he's filled with joy. He's filled with joy because there's a certain joy that a person has when he penetrates reality, when he sees what reality is. A person understands the Torah, so there's a tremendous joy. Yisro had that joy. But what was it about? It was about three things. Tell us Haman. The Mon was the ideas that made him happy. Amalek wasn't an idea that made him happy anymore. So Amalek was a different thing. Amalek was Ashgacha, that was Lamoshka. But now you don't need the Melchemes Amalek in the last three. Why? Because Tovas Amon, of course, is the idea of the Ashgacha and the special relationship called Yisrael and Shabbos and metaphysical causality. And the Be'er was the idea that a person is prone to psychological stress and to denial. You see? That was the idea of the Be'er. So you had the true ideas of the Mon and the idea of the Be'er, the psychological aspect. He appreciated the psychological aspect of the mitzvahs and the Ashgacha, you see? And Torah. Torah is the ultimate. Without Torah there's no simcha, you see? But the three were the Mon, Ashgachas Hashem, the psychological problem that a person encounters, and that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is even with him when he undergoes a difficulty with a psychological problem, and Torah. See, Amalek wasn't necessary because there'd be only one reference for that. So the Be'er is enough of a reference. You know what I mean? You don't have to mention Amalek again. But the Simcha was because of Torah. The Simcha was because of Torah. The recognition that everything hangs on Chochmas, appreciation of Chochmas HaTorah. And Chochmas HaTorah, the appreciation of Chochmas Hashem, is the essence, and Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Mono and the Be'er. So really, it's really Torah and Hashgacha. Torah and Hashgacha. But this philosophical Hashgacha was Mon. Psychological Hashgacha was the Be'er. So Hashgacha is in two frameworks. Hashgacha to teach the philosophical idea, and Hashgacha to correct the psychological defect that a person suffers because he's unable to live up to the ultimate metaphysical, you see. And then you have of course the objective of everything is the objective of the Ashgacha is Torah. That's the objective. The objective is that the person should be involved in a life of endless appreciation of Chochmas Hashem. That's why Yichad Yisro. That's why he was happy. Yes. Vayichad Yisro, it's only the ideas that he's happy about. So, you know, all you need is the idea of Ashgacha with regard to the metaphysical, the idea of Ashgacha with regard to the psychological, and the whole objective of the whole system, which is Torah. That's it. Amalek was a continuation. See, the first time, yeah, Amalek was a continuation of the Be'er, because that Vayichad Amalek was after the Be'er. That was the connection. You understand? That was the sequence. The first time Rashi mentions it, he's speaking about the sequence of Mon, Be'er, Amalek. That was the first time. But in the second time, he's reviewing what would make him happy about the, what makes a person happy. So what impresses him was Eis Kol HaTovo, was the impression, what impressed him was the sequence. You see, the sequence. The psychological, and then Amalek, the sequence of Ashgacha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Malame through Nisan. That's what impressed him, you understand? But when a person wants to be happy about the situation, what is he happy about? He's happy about two things. Ashgachas Hashem, and the fact that his life is life of Torah. That's what makes him happy, and that's what makes a person happy. So it wasn't necessary to have a moment, because Be'er represents the idea of Ashgachas Hashem. Sure. Moshe Rabbeinu went back again. It shows you an interesting thing with regard to limud. That if you see that something, if you want to be melamed a person or something, so you see, even though he really appreciated it, he shnu Hashem avo, but Moshe Rabbeinu went over it again. And over it again because he reinforced it and he elaborated on it because he saw that this is something which is Moshe Chlibo. So first you have to draw a person by his emotions. If you draw by his emotions, then you can give him the chokhmah. And you have to be astute to recognize what exactly, where his emotions lie. He saw his emotions, or Shmuel Shemavar was in the Yaman and Amalek, so he elaborated on that. It's Moshe Chlibo. Then he gave him the Torah, then he gave him the chokhmah. See, both are true. Vayichad Yisro is both are true. It's not a talk to the Sasha, see? Ambivalence. It means he had ambivalence. That's what it means. So he says he was very happy, but then it bothered him because he identified with Mitzrayim, was destroyed, it bothered him also. So he had both emotions simultaneously. He was very happy about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klal Yisrael, but it bothered him also. It's possible for a person to feel simultaneously two opposite emotions. That's what I'm saying, ambivalence, yeah. Oh, yeah, go on. Yeah, Steve mentioned that's really the whole thing of Amalek. The Gemara says, Chiyod of Shemosha, Osa Mohama. The Shosha Meshabdim Meslibon Lavim Shabbat Shemayim. That was the whole, the Stakun Kaplan Kaplan Maila, Meshabdim Meslibon Lavim Shabbat Shemayim. That was the whole essence of Amalek. The whole essence of Mohammed's Amalek was to engender that kind of a response in the people. Complete dependence on the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Exactly. That's right. There's one thing that we want to mention according to Rashi, he says Ayelech Basarasi means to see if they keep the mitzvahs of the month. So what's so hard about keeping those mitzvahs? Two mitzvahs. But the Pshah, you see they didn't keep it. You see that people didn't keep it. Why? Because that was halachic reality. That was to teach them the idea of halachic reality. If you violate the halacha, that this happens. That was the special. Laman Asana Ayelech Basarasi in low means to see if they could learn the idea of halachic reality. Halacha's reality is like anything else. And if you break the halacha, is the reality it's destroyed. Rashi says, "V'zachato ki evero yiso it's dvam heites vav." V'yatziyach harashem lekach mishom biyachas olin zor alkein tzivach harashem lekach lasas yom shabbos. Rashi says, "Amenas kein pedocha shetiyah lo ever v'sishma mitzvosev." The Rashi says, "But we're talking about Shabbos, so every mitzvah that way. So why only Shabbos?" You see. So the answer is like this. The answer, just to summarize what we said, okay, it comes out like this, that Shabbos is Kulo Hashem. That's the phenomenon of Shabbos. Why is the theme of Shabbos is Sheishis Mebri, the Kaddish Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. That's the theme. And because of that theme, the day has been, that's the highest possible theme. Since that's the highest possible theme in Yadus, the day is designated as Kulo Hashem. You understand? The theme dictates that this day is designated as Kul Hashem, because that theme is the greatest, it's the greatest universal possible. You understand what I mean? It is the ultimate universal of all universals. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olam. That's the ultimate, there's no universal beyond that. The greatest universal that there is in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. But that's the universal of all universals. Okay? The greatest universal. So Yom HaShabbos is dedicated to that theme. Now that is insofar as the theme is concerned, right? But because of that fact, Adam, who actually involves himself in that theme, in that idea, reaches his highest perfection. Okay? And what is the highest perfection? What is the highest perfection? The highest perfection is this. When we say, see, the Rav said a nice thing. The Rav said that every yesod in the dus is not just the yesod in abstract, but it has some kind of a functional relevance insofar as man is concerned. Like he said, for instance, the yesod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was menabe b'nei ha'adam. That's one of the yesodos, right? So what does that have to do with practicality? The answer is practicality is that a person should, that's the level, that's the ultimate level that a person should strive for, to be an ovi. So the Rav said, he said a nice thing, he said, on Yesh Me'ayin. He said, what? The Yesod of Yesh Me'ayin. So what does Yesh Me'ayin mean? Yesh Me'ayin means that, it means, like we explained it one time in the Noach Shir. And if you remember the Noach Shir, we said, that Yesh Me'ayin means that that nothing partakes of existence without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Which means we gave a mushel, like a balloon. If you hold it underwater, it must constantly be held underwater. in order for it to stay there. Of course, it's naturally going to go, going to rise to the top. Same thing with all existences. Naturally, they would cease to exist except for the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sustains it constantly. That's Mechadosh Ketuvah B'chol Yom Tov Ma'aseh Reishis. Okay? So therefore, so he said, like he says, but what is the thing of what is Yesh Me'ayim? The Yesh Me'ayim means, like the Rambam says, that his mitzias, he is mamtzi kolon mitzoyim, that he's the source of all existence. All right. So the Rav said, well, what does it mean in a practical way? Functionally, what does it mean? It's a nice thing. He said it means to say that insofar as a person partakes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's medabek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, insofar as that's concerned, that's how much his existence is real. That's how much his existence is real. As an Adam. You understand? In other words, a behemoth has a different kind of existence. But an Adam, since Adam has Das, and with Das, he could be medabek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So insofar as he's medabek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how much his existence is realized. So he says the goal of Kol HaTorah Kula is what? That we should exist. That's the goal. Okay? So, similarly, what I want to say is similarly with regard to Hashgachas Hashem. It's not just a principle and abstract that Hashgachas Hashem is a fact, but it's a pertinent fact. It means to say that is the goal of all human life, to be on that level where he relates directly to Hashgachas Hashem. So being on that level is the highest form of existence. Okay? Now, since Shabbos is Kulo Hashem, and the Kulo Hashem means that if man is involved in the mitzvah of Kulo Hashem, so then he's under Hashgacha, the highest level of Hashgacha. That's why Shabbos is Mon, there's nothing to worry about. That's a principle of the Das. The principle of, it's not an ace. That's Hashgacha. Hashgacha is not an ace. Okay? It means that he relates directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of that, he bypasses the effects of the natural law, because he's in contact with the source of the natural law, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So therefore, since Shabbos involves that theme, so when he keeps Shabbos, when the person actually keeps Shabbos, so then he's involved in the highest level of existence, of Hashgacha. That's why Shabbos and Hashgacha are tied together. That's why it's not a steerer, you see? That's why it says like this. That's why he says, in the first Aseret HaDibros, what does it say? It says that you should keep Shabbos because of right? There it's telling you the theme of Shabbos. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the people, he's exhorting them by way of Musa. He's teaching them Musa. So what is he saying to them? He's giving them a reason why they should keep Shabbos. Why should you keep Shabbos? Because Shabbos is Hashgachas Hashem. And you should remember, what is Hashgachas Hashem? It says, V'zachata kevet yisir b'eretz Mitzrayim, v'yitzir Hashem l'kach m'sham, b'yot chazak v'zayin atuyah. Right? So you should remember the Hashgacha. What is the Hashgacha? Hashgacha began, the biggest manifestation of Hashgacha is Yitzir Mitzrayim. What does the pasuk say? Oh, haniso lekim lavo lekachas legem mikarev goi baosos masos baosim lacham v'yachazor zman to kol shrosol Hashem lekach mitzrayim leinecha. Right? That's what the pasuk says. Previously, pasuk. Okay, in the Vaskana. So he says, as v'chati avisim mitzrayim, you should remember the Hashgacha, and al kain tzivchad Hashem lekach lasas Hashem Shabbos. Why did God command you to keep Shabbos? In order that you should live a life which is completely under the Hashgacha. That's the purpose of Shabbos. So there's no contradiction between the two Aseret HaDibros. And the Aseret HaDibros, the first set, it's telling you the theme, and that's the proper place for the theme, because God gave the first Aseret HaDibros. So he's telling you the theme. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu is exhorting the people to keep it. He's adding a new dimension. He's saying, and what are you going to gain when you keep it? What is going to happen when you keep it? When you keep Shabbos, you're going to be living on the highest level of Hashgacha. And al kein tzivchad Hashem lekech lasas yom Shabbos. That's why God gave you the mitzvah. Why? Because he wants you to live the ultimate life. And where is the ultimate life found? The ultimate life found is found in Shemir Shabbos. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's what Rashi says, shetishma menaskin shetilo evis shishma mitzvosai. But Shabbos is the highest level of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, because the theme of Shabbos is the most embracing thing, is the underlying theme of Kol HaTorah Kulo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. And when a person reaches that level of realization, he involves himself in that idea to the fullest, which is the purpose of Yom HaShabbos, then he receives Hashgachas Hashem, then he's under Hashgachas, and that is the purpose. That's the purpose of Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs. And Shabbos is the one mitzvah that represents that thing. Okay? That's the pasuk. That's what the pasuk is. Kain Sivchar Hashem L'Kach Vassim. Why? V'zachar Gezim Zayim, Hashgachas Hashem, and you should be under the Hashgachas. That's why God gave you this mitzvah. He's explaining to them there is the theme of Shabbos and there's the benefit of Shabbos. The theme of Shabbos, the first side of the difference, the benefit of Shmiras Shabbos and the objective that man attains by Shmiras Shabbos, through Shmiras Shabbos, is in the second, is what Moshe Rabbeinu explained to Klal Yisrael. That's what it is. You can see that's really the objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. What did the Torah say? The Torah says, if you keep my mitzvahs, what does God say? V'nasati yishmechem be'itam v'nas naratziv hula v'etz asada yitain piryo. What is that? All those things. V'safta d'ganecha v'sireshka v'sirecha. And there won't be any famine. Everything will be under Hashgacha. That's what it means. Ain't Yad Hashem l'kecha bar. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's the concept of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the place of Hashgacha. Ain't Yad Hashem l'kecha bar. Meireshis shana v'yad achra shana. The land of Eretz Yisrael is the place where Klal Yisrael lives properly, is directly under the Hashgacha, bypass the natural law. And that's the whole objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. Not because you want to live not because of the fact of the results, but the results indicate the level of existence. That's the point. That is the fulfillment of Adam. That's the fulfillment of Adam. Like the Gemara says, why is it that an animal finds its sustenance readily in nature, doesn't have to exert itself, and man, who is the highest level, he has to go through tzar and b'zeis ha'pechatech alechem. So the Gemara says it doesn't make any sense. If a lower creature God supplied, why didn't God supply man? So the Gemara says elisha kipachti es masai. The Gemara says because I myself caused my own downfall. That's what it means. It means that a person is living on the highest level, just like you see the way God ordered nature, that nothing has to search for its sustenance, find pain in attaining its sustenance. So too for man, that was the direct plan. But man can only attain this plan one way: if he lives as man. If he lives as man, then there's no, it's not an ace. It's a natural phenomenon. But if he doesn't live as man, then he has the curse of b'zeis ha'pechatech alechem. It's a different reality. It's not innate. You have to understand that is the natural order. That's the natural order. But for man, the natural, just like see, for an animal attains its natural order by being an animal. Man attains the natural order by being man. That's the only way. So the Hashgacha, living the life of Hashgacha, is really living as man. The important is where does Yadus differ from science? Yadus differs from science right here. The Yadus maintains that science is only a part of a metaphysical frame. There's a metaphysical framework beyond science. That's what Yadus maintains. There's a physical phenomena, but the physical phenomena are embedded in a metaphysical, in a framework, metaphysical framework.